Hi, this is Gil Manser. You are listening to a special word-by-word conversations with quite local writers program featuring the 8 winners from the Sebastopol Center for the Arts Bibliophoria Teen Writing Contest right here on KRCB 91.1 FM in Santa Rosa or streaming online at krcb.org. Prompted by the words books are, talented writers from West County Junior Highs, High Schools, and SRJC submitted their short stories or essays for consideration. Part of the winning prize is to have these read on KRCB by professional actors and the chance to talk about their writing on air. In case you haven't heard, Bibliophoria is a multifaceted celebration of the art of the book, which runs through the months of June and July. There are so many things to do, you will need to consult the events calendar at bibliophoria.com. That's BIBLIOPHORIA.com. You can also read all 8 of the winning entries of this contest at the Bibliophoria website. Now on to the readings. With invaluable help from Jeffrey Weissman, I am pleased to have 4 actors from TV, movies, and the stage sharing their talent with us this evening. First, I am pleased to welcome Kimball Jackson, who tells me that among her many different careers, the one she wants to share is her involvement with sustainability practices.
Being conscious about what your life does to the world, how you eat, how you drive, how you consume, and if you can be more responsible and be careful, it's going to make things better for our planet, which is something that really needs to happen. And I feel quite strongly about that. And, you know, there are many different levels that people can help, but I think just the consciousness that you have an impact and that you're in control of the choices you make and make healthy choices, that's the way to go.
Right. And you're into acting through your husband?
I am. I love to read. And
who, by the way, is Jeffrey?
Jeffrey is my husband, yes. And we've done quite a few readings of Shakespeare and other authors in the round, just a theater reading. And it just nothing brings things to life like the human voice.
Well, you're going to read 2 of the winning entries for us, and you can start with Catherine's.
Yes, Catherine.
Catherine Golitsyn, who is 18, a Santa Rosa Junior College student, and she is here with us today. So we're going to talk with her just after we hear her essay. So let's hear Humanity Recorded.
Books are life wrapped up into sentences and stories. Take a minute to think about it. The books we keep on our bookshelves, the ones often decorated with a hardcover, the ones we read over and over again, these are windows into someone else's what might have been. You can even write your own, sharing your story with someone you might never meet because they lived after you or in a different country. But when you read a book, you discover that we are not in the slightest bound by distance or time when it comes to loving someone, feeling broken, and hoping for something more. The ancient Greeks had an idea that we have lost. They recognized 2 kinds of time, chronos and kairos. Whereas chronos is the 10 minutes it takes to boil an egg, or the seasons in a year, kairos is now, the unbound dimension that we experience when threatened by death, or in a moment of bliss with our loved one. When everything earthly and passing falls away, when we read books, we experience kairos. Just one more chapter, you and I used to cry when our mothers reminded us we had to turn out the light and get some sleep. And she would tell us again, it's getting late. Every repetition of her request gaining a shade of meaning. But inevitably, we wouldn't listen because to us it wasn't late. We were unreachable in the realm of kairos. Where else could such impossible things happen? How else could we easily enter a world so far from our own, yet intangibly real? For real is the effect a book can have on its reader. The boundless possibilities of someone's fictitious adventure can refresh and revitalize you. Books can change the way you live your life. Indeed, for me it did. Books gave me strength when I was scared and homesick, studying alone in Italy. I sat on a couch, having set aside my finished homework, and turned to my copy of the 7th Harry Potter book. Ron Weasley was about to destroy the evil Horcrux, a locket which held a piece of Voldemort's soul. The Horcrux must have known it was in danger because it began to show Ron visions of his deepest fears. He hesitated for a moment, but finally, raising a sword above his head, found the courage to shatter it into pieces. Of course, this particular event did not really happen, at least in the world we live in. Yet elsewhere in the book, Rowling expresses an important idea. "Of course it is happening inside your head, Harry," she writes. "But why on earth should that mean it is not real?" It's true. Somehow, through this work of fiction, I gained real strength to face my own shyness and fears. Books have been there for me when no one else was. These teachers of words, these phrases that ring so true that I underline them in pen, hoping to remember after the moment when I close the cover. With books, we can share ideas and likewise strength, and those who have come before us and those who will come after us. Our words might even change the way someone lives their lives. What's more incredible than that? J.R.R. Tolkien believed that in every story there is a grain of truth, profound truth that cannot be expressed any other way. We are all human, and our time on earth is short. But as long as we write for each other, for ourselves, and for those who will come in the future, compiling it into this mysterious binding we call a book, our history will follow us, and our message will resonate in the hearts of those able to read what we had to say. Let our life be our message, and let our humanity be ever recorded and remembered in books.
That was Kimball Jackson reading Humanity Recorded. One of the winning entries in the books are Bibliophoria, Writing Contest for Teens. It was written by Catherine Golitzin, who's 18 and a student at Santa Rosa Junior College. So Catherine is in the studio with us this evening, and we'd love to hear your reaction to have someone else reading your work aloud.
That was fantastic. It's such an interesting feeling to have my own writing be read by someone else, because, of course, I had my own ideas and imaginations when I was writing it, and I knew all along that it was going to be performed, so I was trying to make it, as I was writing the actual piece, I was trying to imagine as if I was performing it myself. And so to have someone else that isn't me and doesn't have my life experience but has their own life experience read it, it really comes out and it enriches it for me. So
that's good. Yeah. Well, I think the words were there to work with, which is important. So did you read it to yourself in front of a mirror or something else?
No, I kind of would just have an internal dialogue going on. And I think a lot of the inspiration for the piece came from my dancing. And so since I take dance lessons every day, mm-hmm. and so it'd been a while since I actually wrote. But when I sat down to write this piece, I kind of treated it as performing like dance in front of different people. And so that's kind of how I thought of it. And I don't know if that makes sense. But
no,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
It does. So where did you hear about the contest?
I picked up a copy of The Bohemian, and there was a link to the Sebastopol Center for the Arts website, and I just felt like going on. And right at the very top of the page, there is the teen writing contest, and right. I thought, that sounds fun. So
the other thing I thought was interesting, and you'll hear this if you get a chance to hear some of the other entries as well, it's almost as if the Harry Potter series is a milestone of your generation.
Mm-hmm.
So many people refer to it and
absolutely.
And treasure it and, mm-hmm. and remember fond memories. You mentioned being in Italy, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and delving into it.
Yeah. Harry Potter has had a huge influence on me and on my sisters. In fact, my younger sister, Emily, is almost 16. And, are you familiar with the Tumblr website?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, like a social networking kind of thing. And a lot of teens especially use it, and they are really bound by their passion for Harry Potter. And my sister has written a piece, not really an essay, but more like a letter to Harry Potter. And they're compiling letters to Harry Potter written by teens in a book called Dear Mr. Potter, I think. And it just talks about the influence that Harry Potter has had on different people's lives.
So again, Catherine Golitzin, 18 years old, Santa Rosa Junior College student. We thank you, and we want to encourage you to continue your writing.
Thank you very much.
Kimball Jackson is still at the mic, so next we will hear her reading a short story from 14-year-old Emily Hammond from Orchard View School entitled Another World.
Books are my life. I will read anything from science fiction to romance, fantasy to adventure. My name is Willow Kimberly, and I go to Rainbow Lane High. I know, cheesy, right? But the cool thing about it is that it's not ordinary. It's a special all-girls boarding school for fairies. Instead of learning stuff like calculus that you would only need to know if you wanted to be a rocket scientist, we learned cool stuff about how to make people disappear and create illusions. But most of all, my favorite thing about my school is its library. Oh, I just love our library. When I walk in through the mahogany doors and smell the warming scent of old books, of leather and glue and words, sweet words, I'm filled with an extreme sense of peacefulness. The purring whisper of students at work is so calming to me that I could actually fall asleep, even on the hard, old, stiff-backed wooden chairs. There are no stairs to climb or Muzak-filled elevators to ride. Instead, we fly to get our books. We swoop through the three stories of pure books and navigate through the regal building with the grace of a butterfly. But for now, enough about my school and library. Let me tell you a little bit more about me. I'm 5 feet, 8 inches tall, and I have blue-green hair that is the color of the water in the Bahamas. Don't worry, I put an illusion spell on when I go around humans so it looks brown. That always smells like fresh mango and plumerias all mixed together in one big, yummy, marvelous smell. My eyes are gray, and I'm very skinny. Actually, my best friend Bianca calls me Leany the Greeny Greeny Beanie, which is kind of embarrassing, but whatever. My favorite thing to do is get my wings painted. That is, besides reading books. We have this little salon on campus that is uber cheap where you can get pretty designs doodled on your wings for an extra flair. The other thing that I love about it is that they don't use any of that lacquer that the humans use on their nails. In my personal opinion, it smells pretty good, but everything I've heard tells me that it's toxic. Anyway, besides school and hanging out with Bianca and my other friends, Patty and Bay, that's pretty much my life. Well, except for summer. In summer, I get to be with my mom, dad, sister, my golden retriever Sally, Siamese cat Fred, a ton of chickens, an annoying rooster, some sheep, horses, cows, and lots of other animals. You see, we live on a farm. Ever since I was little, we have lived there. So when I come back in summer, I'm greeted with all the smells and sounds that remind me of my childhood. For instance, the warm, sweet, musky smells of our four mares, whose names are Momo, Shay, Como Pie, stands for coconut, mango, and pineapple. Since these were my favorite fruits at the time, I couldn't pick which one to name her, so I just combined all three, and that's how she has such an odd name. And Nola, for granola. I was about 3 when I named them. Every summer, I come out to the barn and pamper my four ladies by brushing them until their chestnut hair shines in the warm sun. Also, since I love them so much, I feed them their favorite delectable treats of carrots and sugar cubes so that they gently nuzzle me for more. Since it's summer and I'm home from school, my mother always invites friends over and hosts parties so I can keep in touch with all my aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents. It's really nice to see everyone. But I also like to have time to myself, so when I'm feeling particularly exhausted, I escape to the barn to have whispered conversations with my favorite equestrian companions. But sometimes even talking to the ladies don't calm my frantic mind. So I'll take a favorite book and sit in their pasture, tuck my wings around me, and read with their serene, conversation-free presence. Enveloped in the story and free from my worries, I get sucked into another world.
We are pleased that Emily Hammond is with us in the studio, and she is 14 years old, and she's giggling as she thinks about talking about another world, her winning entry. Was it fun to hear someone else read your work aloud?
Yeah, it was very interesting and different.
Anything you learned from that?
No, not really.
Okay, tell me about this special all-girls boarding school called Rainbow Lane High. Is that where you're going next?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm going to go to Orchard View School.
Okay. There's a high school, too?
Yes.
Wow, I'm impressed. We're going to talk about Orchard View School in just a little bit, but is there something that you'd like to say about your favorite place to go to school?
The thing I really like about it is that I can have I have more time to do the things that I love, like
horseback riding, karate, piano, singing, all my other activities. And, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're very busy, but I want to encourage you to keep writing. So spend some of the time this summer, you know, with a pencil. Do you write with a computer or a pencil?
I do either.
Okay. Whichever way you want to do it, because I think you've got a great gift.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Joining us next is Law Levy, who, you will notice from his distinguished voice, is originally from Manchester, England. Law has worked extensively in local and regional theater. In addition to film, TV, and voiceover work, he can currently be seen as Joe Glickman in a stage reading of Glickman's third act at the Bravo Theater in San Francisco. He is reading 14-year-old Mirandi Dallas-Fugue's essay entitled Book Types.
Books are stories that take you away from reality or teach you something new. There are the basics like fiction and nonfiction, but there are also subcategories such as fantasy, romance, travel, biographies, humor, horror, self-improvement, mystery, pets, foreign language, and dictionaries. Each type of book attracts a different crowd. Take romance, for example. Most of the crowd are single women because they want to make sure that finding their dream guy is possible. Some of the romance books are kind of cheesy. I feel that they get boring. But maybe after a heartbreak, a romance book will look very attractive. Fantasy attracts a different type. In the fantasy crowd, you will find mostly people that have a fun side. Most people have a side of them that loves the impossible and has pleasure reading about it. Fantasy is an enjoyable type of book to read because it is a type of book that has no strings attached, meaning that since it is not possible, you are not obligated to change your life to make it like that book. Travel books are mostly for the retired. Some other people read them too, but not as many. One reason that the retired crowd is into them is because when a retired person travels, he or she wants a comfy bed. If they do not have a nice bed, then the next day will not be fun. Also, the retired are more picky about their food. They want things not too spicy, but not too mild. They like to know what they are doing before they do it. Biographies have a broad crowd. Everyone likes a good, breathtaking story about someone's hard life. Most people I know will read a biography now and then. There are two types of biographies, classic biographies and modern biographies. The classic biographies are the ones that you are made to read in school. The modern biographies some people like better because you can relate to them. It is easier to feel emotion about something that you can relate to. In my opinion, horror makes no sense. Mostly, young men and women like them. But I wonder why people would read a story that scares them. Isn't the world scary enough? Why do we need more scary things? Some people like the rush of adrenaline, but others steer clear of these types of books. Humor is one of the biggest categories. Most people read the comics in the newspaper, and most children have comic books. The kids of my generation were raised on comic books. My brother and his friends recite comics that they have read. But as people grow up and have more responsibility, they can drift away from comics. Self-improvement is the kind of book that some people look to in hard times. Sometimes these books are called self-help books. That title makes the person reading them kind of ashamed. I think the title Self-Improvement is a good one. A book can change a person's life. Mystery is a fun kind of book to read. Mystery has some die-hard readers. It is a well-loved category. Mystery is the kind of book that when you read it, you are always trying to fit the puzzle together. Some surprise you at the end, and that is always fun. Then there is my favorite category, pets. In the pet books, you can learn anything from health problems to how to go on a walk with a rabbit. There are dog training books that are always so fun to read. In the pet category, you can find many good reads. If you like animals, you will find these books interesting. If you are interested in endangered species, there are books about that here. Foreign language books are a challenge to some and a quick read to others. Everyone feels different about learning a new language. Some people love learning a new language, while others learn a language for travel. But mainly, every age of person considers reading a language book for some reason. Foreign languages are good in many situations. Dictionaries are books that most people own. They are very useful if you are a student or if you just forget a definition of a word. For some people, it is hard for them to use a dictionary, but after you practice using one, it gets easy. Everyone should be able to use a dictionary. Dictionaries are the most useful book out of them all. Every person likes different types of books. It is all about personal preference. Some people like descriptive writing, while others like non-descriptive writing. One person will love one book and someone else will dislike it. People in a family often not like some books, and at different times of life, people are attracted to different books.
14-year-old Mirandi Dallas Fugie is here with us, and she's the author of Book Types. And I've got a couple of questions for you. The first one, what was it like to hear someone else, a man, read your piece?
I thought he did a really good job. Like he kept the story how I imagined it. So that was really neat to hear that someone else imagined it the same way that I did.
And how did you come up with these specific types of books, this specific list?
Well, I went on the Barnes & Noble website,
uh-huh.
And I went through there. Searching.
Classification.
How you can search for
good
the
way,
books.
Good way. And let me ask you another question since you're here. Does everyone still have a dictionary in their home or do they all run to the web?
I hope everyone still has a dictionary, but probably some families don't.
Right. Well, thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for writing such a great piece. Next, Law Levy will be reading The Adventures of Devon by Duncan Lang, who is 14 at Orchard View School.
The Adventures of Devon. Books are wonderfully useful things, except when you cannot find the one you want. This problem was afflicting the old man Devon. Devon lived in a tower. This tower was old and dusty, but it was filled with books. All kinds of books. Large books, small books, long books, short books, magical books, books with no words. Any book you could ever want. Even though Devon had all these books, he just couldn't find the one book he wanted. He searched and searched. He uncovered old tomes he hadn't seen in centuries. But still, he couldn't find the book he wanted most. Devon turned the place upside down, looking for his lost book. After days of searching, he had to conclude that he was not going to find the book. The problem was that this book was one of a kind. You wouldn't find another like it if you searched for 1,000 years. Devon knew that someone must have stolen it. How they achieved this he didn't know, since he hardly ever left his tower. But now he would have to. So the next day, Devon set off to find his book. Now, Devon hadn't been out of his tower for many a year, so he was a little unaccustomed to the outside world. The first set of tracks he found led him straight to a troll mound. When Devon saw the sleeping ogre, he was extremely frightened. But, as we all know, trolls can't come out in daylight. For if they do, they get turned to stone. Devon figured a troll probably hadn't stolen his book, and so he beat a hasty retreat. Night was coming on fast now, and Devon had not yet found his book. He had wandered far from his tower, and he needed a place to stay. The first place he came to was an old shack filled with spiders. Now, spiders didn't normally bother Devon, but these spiders were massive. They were as large as a small cat, and to Devon's misfortune, twice as fierce. He somehow managed to get away without getting bit, but now there was nowhere to spend the night. When Devon set out, he didn't think he would be gone for more than a day. It turned out that he was wrong. He eventually settled down on a very inviting patch of grass for some sleep. He awoke the next morning, feeling even more worn out than when he had gone to sleep. However, he knew that he must find some food and then go on searching for his lost book. After a few hours of walking, Deppen arrived at the town of Riverside. Contrary to the name, this town was not found next to a river. It was, in fact, a logging town. Deppen started asking if anyone had seen any shady characters hereabouts. The town was not that large, and Deppen had been the first visitor for quite some time. After spending a restless night in the spare room of the tavern, Deppen set off to search for his book once more. Deppen wandered along the countryside, still hoping to find his book. He saw a cave in a mountainside that looked like it could harbor a thief. Deppen approached the cave entrance and saw what was most definitely not a thief. The cave held a mighty dragon who was sleeping away his days atop a mountain of treasure. Deppen had enough sense to turn tail and run. Deppen was done with searching for his book. He was bruised and battered, and all he wanted was to go home to his nice, cozy tower. And so that is what he did. He passed back through the town, where he stayed for a night. He then took the long way around the house, full of spiders. He made sure to pass the troll den during the day, and so he managed to make his way safely back home. Deppen arrived on his doorstep, exhausted and craving for a cup of tea. He opened his cupboard, and instead of finding tea, he found his book. The one place he had not looked, because who would leave a cookbook in the cupboard?
We're going to hear from Duncan Lang, the author of The Adventures of Deppen, and what did you think of hearing it read in a British accent?
I thought it was very good in a British accent, actually. Better than American, I think.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The fabulous writing and the fabulous readings continue. We just heard Law Levy's interpretations of Mirandi Dallas-Fugay's essay, Book Types, and Duncan Lang's creative short story, The Adventures of Deppen. Both writers are from Orchard View School and are two of the eight winners from the Sebastopol Center for the Arts Bibliophoria Books Are Teen Writing Contest, part of the special word-by-word Conversations with Writers show on KRCB 91.1 FM in Santa Rosa or streaming online at krcb.org. Our third actor is Gary Grossman, who has an MFA in acting from CSU Long Beach and has taught at Berkeley Rep, Sonoma Rep, Marin Theater Company, the Academy of Art University, the San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, and the Marin Shakespeare Festival. Gary runs the acting department at the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts and is on the faculty of the San Francisco School of Digital Filmmaking. Gary starts off reading Sanity Clarified by 18-year-old Michael John Bradford from El Molino High School.
Books are sanity, fictional books in particular. It's only now that I realize they are the key they always were. Of course, 2 years ago, over 700 days and nights ago, I was merely an oblivious agent on a mission. The Gestapo law had just been enacted, and Washington decided it was time to throw their hands into the pot. I remember the harsh winds, the ocean smell that accompanied it. The ocean always smells like the ocean. I was furious trying to survive my glider's landing. I wasn't paying attention to the gift of the wind. I settled in Havel, just planning and waited, watching as the Nazi war machine unfolded in front of me. Yet never did any description until I was face first into a story. As I sat for 2 years in the gutter swill of grotesque sin, I began to acclimate to my life as a common German. However, I managed to allot myself 2 hours each day in the library, 1 hour for planning for the order, and 1 hour of reading stories. One day on my jog through the park, I was surprised to see an envelope in my drop zone, the old golden alder in the very corner of the park. Down the river I went in clothes all too formal, my trench coat tucked under the trim, its color matched the overcast perfectly, I failed to notice. I had easily infiltrated the Reichstag. It was easy since all the actual businesses were being conducted in the Kroll-Opper building. Yet here he was, the Führer himself, just one door away from me, developing his propaganda. For my contacts, I knew he was going to be preparing a good 2 hours before he would make his speech. A good assassin knows to wait until he has his target's back, the sound of him touching his desk. Under the ribs and into the lungs, echoed in my head over and over again as my letter opener hovered just in front of my bosom. I transitioned into a more calm state and heard his speech over my own echo. I understood. We have regained what it was ours all along, and now is the time to make all Germans superior to the rest of the world through hard work. We don't need their land. The fatherland shall escort us to glory. I bugged out. He was extremely charismatic. He can do an outstanding amount of good for the world. I rustled my way over to Contact's house down the street and phoned my handler back in Havel. Listen, tyrant. I understand you're nervous about an objective this large in stature, but you have your orders. Remember that Brit liaison? He had the same problem as you. Got nerves about the mission right after the night of Long Knives. He thought Hitler was making a change for the better. Come a month later, and the Austrian chancellor is dead. Liaison, hightail it to the right his wrong, but the moment of opportunity had passed. The SS intercepted and eliminated him. Don't miss your moment of opportunity, tyrant. You have your orders. While he talked, I was grasping my letter opener, magnificently simple. It was as any letter opener, save the brass knuckle handle in the shape of a skull, shining that way that where light diffuses off the metal. But that wasn't the reason this particular knife was unique and important. It was given to me by a British commando, liaison's brother, for the operation. My resolve had not only returned, but it had been bolstered. I entreated the world for a new exit strategy as I hustled back to the Reichstag. I didn't see anything. I should have. The sun had begun to pierce through the gray clouds. I was again behind the altar door, and he was there, still practicing right where I left him. Without hesitation, I began to move my hand toward the door, but before I felt it, I heard the swoosh and creak. I became rigid. My eyes dilated. My blood ran cold, then in my sight came back to me, and I saw the door still in front of me. I heard two people talking quickly in German. All I understood was, "This event cannot happen." Anon, a silence fell, and then crack! An explosion followed by several thumps, and then light footsteps, and the door closing gently. My leg felt wet, and I discerned that the bullet had hit me, femoral artery based on the velocity of the blood. I moved into the room, and I began to read his manuscript. It was an apology to the world. I was brought to the ground. Here I lie next to the deceased Führer, and through the alder door I had opened, I can see a man that is the doppelganger of the corpse beside me. Now I realize the description of life I had missed was the key. If only they knew.
History rewritten.
Ooh.
Yeah, gives you chills, doesn't it?
A little chilling, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have something quite different
yes.
to read next. Yeah, this is Books Are All Around Me by Sierra Cullen Riach, who is 14 at Orchard View School. And again, it will be read by Gary Grossman.
Books are everywhere in my life, or so it seems when I look around me. They are entertainers and adventurers. They are guides and teachers. They are friends and enemies. Books give me a way to go on wonderful adventures without ever leaving the living room. They transport me to far-off lands, times, and worlds. Books have seen me waiting in the cold in the dead of night, outside the bookstore eagerly awaiting the midnight release. Books stir strong emotions in me. My favorite novel makes me happy and excited, ready to explore and fight alongside the characters I know so well. My school textbooks bring me about different sentiments entirely. Boredom, frustration, anxiety, cursing. My algebra book stood by with derisive laughter while I memorized, forgot, and then re-memorized the quadratic formula. Its glossy pages corrected me when I was wrong. I should give the textbooks credit, though, for helping me along the perilous road of academics. Oh, but why am I discussing textbooks when there are so many more interesting books to be discussed? From classic literature to the books of today, I love books. I will read an old hardback passed down through the generations, a new paperback brought yesterday at the store, or something wirelessly downloaded into an iPad or e-reader for some sort. I've spent a year carrying around the 1,312-page Count of Monte Cristo, slowly reading its unfolding tale. I've also spent the better parts of my weekends reading, finishing new and exciting books in just 2 days. I must say that I endure the entire Harry Potter series. I have read every book in the series 3 times, except for the 7th one, which I have read 4 times. And oh, how it pains me to behold the poor soul who has not read those books. I have convinced many people who have something against the series, at least try them out. For most people who start to read them, there is no turning back. I once went on a vacation to Lake Almendor, accompanied by all 7 Harry Potter books, 3 of the movies, and 1 of the books on CD. Now, as I shout out to my sanity, I would like to point out that I was also accompanied on the vacation by 3 friends and their dad who were also reading the books. So it was not just me bringing all of them. The Deathly Hallows came with me to Italy, and I read Uncle Tom's Cabin in Hawaii. And I've concluded that books make fabulous traveling companions. I consider myself a self-proclaimed law officer when it comes to books. Here are a few of the rules. 1, you must not read books in a series out of order. 2, once you have read all the books in a series, you can reread them in whatever order you like. 3, you can't see the movie until you read the book. 4, if you were unaware that there was a book at the time you saw the movie, the breaking of Rule 3 is pardonable. 5, you can't look ahead to see how the book ends. 6, disclaimer. These rules are me fooling around or are not intended to be strictly enforced. Books are a pain to move from house to house. I know because I've moved 11 times in my life. In each move since I've been old enough to help with the moving, I distinctly remember moving books. I remember taking the books off the shelf in my bedroom and thinking to myself, oh, I love this book, or, I've never read this book before, I wonder where I got it. Or even possibly thinking, oh, great, this crazy book, why do I still own this book? I remember once, the last time we moved, that I was putting a book into a box and I thought to myself that it was about time I read the book again. I could not even remember how the book started, so I thought I would just look at the first page. Well, as soon as I did, I was enveloped by that tale being told, so I kept reading. I think I was reading for about a half an hour like that, sitting on top of a half-packed box of books, just reading away.
We are fortunate to have with us tonight Sierra Cullen Ryack, who is the winning author of Books Are All Around Me. She's 14 years old from Orchard View School. And I'm interested in her reactions to hearing an actor read her winning entry.
I liked it a lot because I wouldn't have thought about reading it that way. And the actor just said things differently than I would have said them. And I thought it was like a good thing.
A good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn something listening to someone else share your innermost thoughts?
I think it made it more distinct which parts were the funny parts and which parts were just kind of the just trains of thought.
So you're going to rewrite it and make it even better?
I could.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add about entering the contest, expectations you may have had?
I was happy that I got an opportunity to enter the contest.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have known about it.
And where did that opportunity come from?
My language arts teacher, Davika Brandt, had everyone in our class write an essay and enter it.
It happened coincidentally that all 4 of the junior high winners came from the same Orchard View class. And we will be talking with the teacher who managed to pull that off in a few minutes. Thank you, Sierra.
Thank you.
That was Gary Grossman reading Sanity Clarified by El Molino High School's Michael John Bradford, Orchard View School's Sierra Cullen Ryack essay, Books Are All Around Me, Two of the eight winners from the Sebastopol Center for the Arts Bibliophoria Books Are Teen Writing Contest. Our final reader tonight is the acclaimed Hollywood actor Jeffrey Weissman. Moviegoers will recognize Jeffrey from his work with Clint Eastwood in Pale Rider, Michael J. Fox in Back to the Futures 2 and 3, and John Lithgow in Twilight Zone the movie. Jeffrey got rave reviews as winemaker Jerry Hannon in the mockumentary Corked, which was filmed recently. He has taught at Sonoma State University and Dominican University and is currently on the faculty at the San Francisco School of Digital Filmmaking. I want to publicly thank Jeffrey for gathering this talented group of actors together to read the winning essays and short stories. Jeffrey is going to read two of the winners, starting with Annaly High School's Amanda Burns, Letting the Light Shine Through.
Books are windows. An opportunity to look through a sheet of translucent glass into another world. People can't leave from this time on planet Earth, but for a moment, while looking through a window, they can see someone else's journey. One can see the pain and love the characters find, the secret hopes they harbor, and each window allows the observer to ponder over other lives. Each window causes a reflection upon the reader to think and hope and discover. But, as with books, windows come in different shapes, sizes, textures, colors, and shadows. Windows after windows line the walls of a plain hallway, creating a library of stories to devour. One window is small, circular, and close to the top of the wall. The next could be large and pentagonal, looming over the reader. They all cast shadows on the empty floor that create an array of reflections and a collage of sceneries until each overlap leads the observer to delight in the anticipation of a new journey to capture. Each window looks out to a different time, era, or place, a different plot and theme, or a completely distinct setting. The most painful novels cast a passing glance, because any more than a glimpse would open up wounds that were better left unbroken. A small window, easily accessed at eye level, as the book gains easy access to our painful emotions, can represent such novels. These types of books make people feel the pain and discover the brokenness. Books such as The Kite Runner by Khalid Hosseini, or even The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold, each of these novels weave suffering and anguish over the past hopes and the worst feeling of all, regret. The book with the most complex plot, sublevels of themes, well, that book is a Gothic cathedral stained glass window. It looms and dominates passersby with the depth of color and rawness of painfully poignant art. One such novel is The Shadow of the Wind by Charles Ruiz Zafón. It starts out as a simple mystery, but gradually accelerates into a whirlwind of sorrow, pain, relief, and the ending that finally rights all wrongs. A novel like that sticks with someone their whole life, always in the back of their mind, remembering the most real characters. But most novels are the easy reads, quick romances, beach books, and are represented by ordinary panes of glass. They're the windows one would find on the rows of almost identical houses in suburbia, unimposing, letting in light with the sun. These stories, written with the larger, fast-paced population in mind, don't hold on to people's heartstrings, but rather ease people into a lull. These novels tell people, yes, there are others with problems, maybe even worse than yours, but the end solves all the demanding issues and might even create a happy ending all around. And it comforts people to realize this. Stories such as Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen or even any of the Nicholas Sparks-esque books. Not that these novels aren't as valuable. On the contrary, these stories seem to make people less worried and more hopeful, but they are the windows of suburbia in that matter. Comforting and conformed, simple stories add normalcy into an often chaotic world. Books are the windows as one walks on by, glances or stares into a different time, place, or world. A fantasy world could appear at the corner window. Such stories can carry people onto magical adventures and push boundaries that end in dramatic discoveries. Sometimes, though, one notices a window that's been boarded up. forbidden, or forgotten. It does not matter which. It's hurtful to see the elimination of light to the window and to know that somehow someone or many people caused this book to be left alone forever. The true relief is removing the knot-filled planks of sawdust and once again letting the light shine through. It stirs up cold characters, new memories, and present dreams. Everyday stories and hopes, ponderings and amazements, fears and laughter. That's what books are.
Next, Jeffrey reads The Bindings of Paper and People by Leanna Mefford, who's 18 and goes to Montgomery High School.
Books are leather-bound lovers. They are glimpses into the childhood imagination we thought we had long left behind. They are the opportunity for the brightest and perhaps most unique in our society to get their say in the world. Books are our time capsules, cauldrons of creativity bubbling over. They are the bond between parent and child at bedtime. The last story told before, I love you. The light is switched off and the night light is switched on. They are the reward for brushing your teeth just in time. When I was a kid, I always wanted one more. I still do. Books will never say, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to cuddle, or it's too late for a story. Your love will never be unrequited. The pages will always open as wings ready to take flight. Sometimes I say, anywhere but here. Indulge in the familiar smells, comforts of an old book like Grandma's house, or the intoxicating smell of a new one, fresh with the new information and thoughts you never thought you'd think about. Books never get jealous. In fact, a large pile of books seems quite happy to lay in the company of others by my bedside. Their allegories and archetypes unite in understated glory. There is strength in numbers, strength in the thought that when you find enough time, you can read all those books. No one will be left out. It's really quite exciting. Understanding what you never understood. I am inebriated with a world that has just got a little clearer. The books stand at attention, encouraged in affectionate closeness by bookends on each side, my army of lovers. I wonder what a book would think if its thoughts weren't black ink on pristine white pages. When I, commander of the soldiers, pursue my small library, do they each yearn for my attention like dogs in a kennel, hoping to be picked up, examined, and declared cute and irresistible? Do they yelp, vying for my consideration, wishing they had the mobility to show off a shiny emblem or tout impressive quoted praises on their back covers? Or instead, do they edge toward the back of the bookcase, hiding among taller companions for fear they would be left lying face down somewhere, or worse yet, dog-eared? Nothing is more tragic than a book that has been neglected. The library? Books without the company of names scrawled on the slip tucked in the inside cover, a book left outside, showered by sprinklers, the rain, or a lethal combination of the two. But the worst is a book half-read, left to languish by the bedside until a fit of spring cleaning denotes it to a pile of goods to be donated. This is a book with rejected ideas, a plot with no climax, no story that strung you along into the wee hours of the morning, like unanswered love. The reader feels it too. You opened your heart, opened the book with honest intentions, and fingered its pages with curiosity until you could stand it no more. So it lies, sprawled out on the floor. You tell your friends, don't read that one. It wasn't so good. But then, it is on to the next book. This is how some lovers must go. For every failure, there are many successes. You know the ones I'm thinking of. Those books you can't put down, whose words linger in your head long after the last page is read. The books that become constant companions while you are reading them, shoved into gym bags and suitcases, backpacks and carry-ons. The types that are so charming, so exciting, the pages leading to the climax so anxiety-provoking that everything else seems to pale in comparison. You're engulfed in the whirlwind that our language provides when situated in just the right way, like falling in love, pumped up on hormones and an ensuing plot. Books make great gifts, presents given by way of a compliment. I think you are old enough and smart enough to appreciate this. There are the well-wishers, baby manuals, the do's and don'ts, and the ones that say, I don't know you very well, but here's an award-winning book, and everyone likes books, right? And finally, the books that bridge connections, the crème de la crème, the ones that you have loved so much you lend them to someone else. Here, read this. I want to share this experience with you. Yes, books can even build relationships. So, enjoy books. They mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. They are as diverse and versatile as we are. We wrote them, after all. Give one to a friend or keep a leather-bound lover all to yourself. Attractively lit screens that bear their entertainment value like seductive sirens. It is good, even healthy, to nurse the ever-tangible book. And what a relief it is to know that time spent reading is never time wasted.
You have just heard Hollywood actor Jeffrey Weissman doing interpretive readings of Annalee High's Amanda Burns, Letting the Light Shine Through, and Montgomery High's Leanna Meifert's The Bindings of Paper and People, two of the 8 winning entries from the Sebastopol Center for the Arts Bibliophoria Teen Writing Contest. You may not have noticed, but 4, in fact all 4, of the junior high school aged winners came from one school, and that's Orchard View School, which is part of the Twin Hills District. It's a very special school. It's a homeschooled charter school. And I found out today that their teacher, the one who teaches language arts and poetry, is hired by the parents to give a special edge to the opportunities that are provided for the students in the school. Her name is Davika Brandt, and she's here with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for getting this all together, getting your students encouraged to write and send in entries, which is enough. It's just hard to do in itself. But also to, as it turned out, be the force behind all 4 winners in the junior high category.
That was really exciting to have all 4 of them win.
So tell us about this group of students. They seem to be really special.
They are really special. I've been teaching this group of young people for the last 3 years. And the thing that I think is particularly wonderful about them is their enthusiasm. They take whatever it is I give them and they really run with it. They are very creative. They take a lot of initiative. So I give them a project. They have some kind of writing every week, mm-hmm. An essay, a short story, something like that, and then also a poem. So they do that every week. And, of course, they all have the same subject, but they write about it very differently.
As we can hear.
As you can hear.
Now, was the Books Are prompt a good one?
It's a great one because it's so open-ended. The interesting thing is that I didn't hear about it until late in the game. We only had, I think, 2 weeks, and I see these students just once a week. Mm-hmm. So I heard about it from one of the parents, Susie Jackson. And so I looked it up online, and then I gave the assignment. The students brought it back to me, but I just had time to look at it very quickly and give them some indications. Develop this a little bit more, mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that. But it was pretty quick. I didn't give them much help on this at all. And then I gave it back to them and said, here are the specifics and you have to figure them all out. And then the plan was the next week was the due date.
Right.
And I had jury duty and I couldn't show up for class.
Oh, no.
So I said, okay,
they all came in individual envelopes,
yes,
apparently.
So, I said, you have to send them in,
right,
if you want them to get in. And the interesting thing is there are some other students in the class, and I don't think they actually sent them in. They didn't get their stories in, but these 4 did, and all 4 were winners.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Davika Brandt, who is the language arts and poetry teacher at Orchard View School. The entries that were submitted were really, really exceptional.
Thank you.
Pat yourself on the back and your students as well.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
prompted by the words "books are," talented writers from West County Junior Highs, high schools, and SRJC submitted their short stories or essays for consideration. Part of their winning prize was to have these read tonight on KRCB 91.1 FM by professional actors Kimball Jackson, Law Levy, Gary Grossman, and Jeffrey Weissman. As an added treat, five of the students had a chance to talk about their writing on air, and we heard from one of the teachers of four of the junior high winners. The studio engineer for tonight is Mark Fuller, and I am your host, Gil Manser. We want to invite you to tune in again to KRCB 91.1 FM in Santa Rosa or streaming online at krcb.org on Wednesday night, July 6th, when our word-by-word conversation with writers will be the international diamond expert Charles Johnson with his new novel, Reunion Promise, which includes scenes from Sonoma County in the 1960s and at the Santa Rosa High School 1986 class reunion. Until then, we wish you and yours a safe and sane 4th of July.